Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime again, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
Doing okay. At least I didn't say I don't know, right?
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I don't think it was an I don't know type of game for the Angels. I mean, we'll get into it. We'll get into the recap later, and I think we're going to talk, you know, a lot about a lot of interesting things that we've already talked about, I feel like, but we just continue need to rehash and reiterate because new things continue to come out with all the sticky stuff, and we're going to continue to talk about it. It's going to be like the Trevor Bauer stuff that we talked about in the offseason. If anybody listened to us then, it was Trevor Bauer on a daily basis. I think for the next at least 2 weeks, probably till the All-Star break, we'll probably be talking about this, if not on a daily basis, on a bi-daily basis with everything that's coming out. Like, my question for you today would be that, not saying that Shohei Ohtani is using the sticky stuff by any means, but would you move Shohei Ohtani back in his next start?
No.
Not knowing that they're cracking down on the sticky stuff, and we're assuming that, let's say, 90% of the major leagues uses it right now. Not saying that Shohei Ohtani uses it or anything, but you wouldn't move Ohtani's start back knowing that we just saw Dylan Bundy get hit around. We've seen Gerrit Cole get hit around without using it. We've seen Trevor Bauer get hit around without using it. I just feel like, you know, I mean, you never know. There's been plenty of guys around the league not using it over these past couple days that have pitched fine, and we're seeing less strikeouts, but you know, we saw Junior Guerra do it tonight, Nate, with a split finger, having troubles controlling that. And Shohei Ohtani's best pitch is a
split finger.
So I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm standing at the moment. I don't know if it needs to happen. I don't know if we want to happen. But that was just something that was playing through my head today as I was thinking about, you know, sticky stuff and spin rates being down across the board for the Angels tonight, which is something I think we kind of need to talk about. I don't think that we really need to dive deep into it because it's something that is happening in all of baseball. Like, I think that as a reporter, as we are doing our job here and talking about this, we need to talk about, you know, some of the Angels' spin rates going down. Dylan Bundy's spin rate was down. Junior Guerra's spin rate was down tonight. James Hoyt's spin rate was down tonight. And granted, you know, it needs to be talked about, regardless if we're Angels fans, regardless if it's the other team, or regardless if it's the Angels or not, it needs to be talked about. And we got to talk about some of the Angels players that are possibly doing it. And it's not like some of these spin rates are going down by a lot or by a little bit. It's going down by, like, 200 RPM, 400 RPM on some pitches, which is a lot. That is a lot. And I'm very analytical about my stuff. I know Rapsodo like the back of my hand. I know what good spin rates are. And that is going down a lot. And I think that, you know, it's something that we are going to continue to talk about. But I'm just thinking it's going to be a tough start for Shohei Ohtani if he does use the sticky stuff, which, again, 90% of the pros and the guys in the major leagues right now are using some type of foreign substance. I think we both agree with that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's tough. I think it's tough to start Shohei Ohtani in his next start knowing that his best pitch is a split finger. We saw some troubles with the split finger. Ohtani's next best pitch is a slider. Dylan Bundy's had some troubles with the slider this year, especially today. And, you know, Ohtani doesn't get away with he doesn't have the overpowering fastball. He can't kick it up. I mean, he probably can kick it up to 102, and we saw him kick it up to 100 last game. But it's not something, you know, he's got the cutter, but how does that work? He's had control issues. He's had command issues. It's just something that it'll be interesting to see. I think you got to kind of push him back and see where MLB lies with all of this.
The interesting thing about moving Ohtani back means you're probably having Alex Cobb start, which, again, he is a very similar pitcher where his out pitch is his split finger. The one difference between Ohtani and Junior Guerra, I would assume that Ohtani's hands are a little bigger than Junior Guerra's, which would mean he's probably able to throw a splitter a little bit better than Junior Guerra is. But yeah, I don't think you have to push him back. I think he's probably thrown a couple pens now without it, and he's just going to have to learn to pitch without it. I wonder if he used it in Japan. I wonder if that's a big thing out there or if it's not really used. I'm sure it probably is used, but it would be interesting to hear, like, from some Japanese players, like, is this a known thing that a lot of people do out there, or is this, like, unheard of? Because maybe this plays a little bit better for him than we think, because it's not really a thing that those guys use. I don't know.
I'm going to guess, because there are American pitchers, because there are former major league pitchers that go over there, some stuff gets used. Like, we saw in the steroid era, steroids, I'm fairly certain, were a problem over there when that when the steroids were an issue here. The only difference is that Japan, the Japanese league, the NPBL, the Nippon Baseball League, cracked down on it. Korean Baseball League cracked down on it. Go look at the suspensions you get. I think you're banned for a year. Actually, I don't think you're banned for a year. I think you get banned for life if you get caught using any steroids or any human growth hormones. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But I feel like that's it. I think that those leagues crack down on it. And not saying that MLB needs to crack down on it. I think we're at the point now where, why is MLB cracking down on this at this point in time? It's ridiculous that they're cracking down on it. It's an off-season thing to do. You don't do this right now, and you just gotta kind of work with it. I don't know. That's where I'm at with this whole thing. Is you can't crack down on it right now. You can't change something in the middle of a season that's going on. And that's, I don't know. Am I wrong with that?
No, I definitely think that this should have been handled before the year if this is the direction they wanted to go. But, you know, MLB doesn't seem to do things at the proper time, and this just kind of seems like an MLB type of thing to do. So.
Yeah, I will have to wait in the coming weeks. I know that we talked about it last night about how they're going to try to deal with this, interrupting the game to go out and check every pitcher that comes in. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see. I know that the Angels broadcast showed the Brennan Donnelly incident with Socha and Frank Robinson tonight on the broadcast, and it was a nice trip back in time. It was kind of funny to watch Socha get after it with Frank Robinson, because I'm pretty sure they're friends. I think Frank Robinson might have coached for the Dodgers at one point. I'm probably wrong with that, but I feel like he, you know, they played either against each other or he coached them, or, you know, so it's just kind of funny to see that and just see the teams kind of go back and forth in a team that you wouldn't expect. It was an early Nationals team with Frank Robinson managing the team and Socha. And, I mean, it was a good team the Angels had, but I don't know. I just thought it was kind of funny that just out of that, because I think that was actually my birthday. It was the first time the Nationals came to the American League, and I think it was the first time they played an American League team, and it was the Angels. So, and kind of funny, kind of a funny incident there, and it'll see, we'll see what happens with pitchers and how they react if somebody gets caught. Do you think anyone's going to get caught? Did we talk about that last night? I think we did, but I don't know. Do we think anybody's going to get caught?
Absolutely, there'll be some guy who thinks that he's so slick with it that he will not get caught. I asked you if it'd be a starter or a reliever, and you said reliever. I don't disagree. I think that you'll probably see a reliever get caught.
I think it's a reliever only because they're coming into the game, and there's no way to put it on when you're coming into the game. You know, like, as a starter, you can go, you're not, you can't check in between every inning. Like, a starter is going to go down in the dugout or go down in the clubhouse in between innings or go down to the bathroom and find a way to get his sticky stuff onto the glove. And kind of an interesting thing also that, I don't know if it's need to be pointed out, but I think Dylan Bundy was using a different glove tonight. I could totally be wrong, but that was like just something that stuck out to me. I was like, well, Dylan Bundy's kind of, I think he's using a different glove tonight. Like, and not to point the finger at Dylan Bundy, because I cannot say this enough. At least 90% of the guys in Major League Baseball are using some type of foreign substance. It's not just Angels pitchers. It's not just A's pitchers. It's not just Trevor Bauer or Gerrit Cole. It's almost everybody, if it's not everybody. So the fact that I think we can talk about this, I think we can talk about what we see, and it's not something that I'm going to post on Twitter. I'm only going to talk about it here. I don't need that. I don't need that on my name. I really don't want that on my name. Is me associating something like that? But talk about it here, where the audience isn't as big. I'm totally fine with that, and I'm okay to, in a sense, you know, not point the finger, but say some names. I am. And it's not just those guys. It really isn't, I don't think. I think it's everybody. And it'll be interesting to see. It really will be. It's going to be an interesting month until the All-Star break. That's really all I have to say. And I think we can kind of get on to our game recap, unless you have something else you want to talk about with this, with the foreign substances and all that.
No, I think we kind of hit this thing as much as we possibly can so far, and yeah, it's definitely something that's going to continue to be a story for probably the rest of the year, especially, I mean, you watch the Angel game, and when Pinder got hit in the head, that was the first thing that got brought up, was the sticky stuff and how guys probably didn't have it. So it's going to be a story the rest of the year, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and it's something that we're going to be talking about. So if you don't, you know, like hearing about it, don't watch baseball for the rest of the year, because it's going to be something that's going to be brought up. It's going to be talked about during the All-Star game. It's going to be talked about probably on every broadcast. It's going to be talked about during the playoffs and the World Series. It's something that's going to be talked about. So let's just move right on to our Angels recap. But before we get there, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos. If you could subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it, go follow us on all of our social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look us up. And Nate, let's just get right onto the recap here. We don't even need to do an ad or anything like that today. Let's just get right onto the recap. The Angels lost today. They fall to 33-33, back to 500, an 8-5 loss. Unfortunately, it was just two bad innings. Dylan Bundy falls to 1-7. We'll talk about him in a minute. And, you know, the Angels just could not claw their way back. They were down 7-8-1 in the fifth inning, 7-1 after three. And, I mean, it was just tough. They had the four-run seventh, and it felt like, actually, in the eighth, they brought the tying run to the plate against Jake Diekman. And, you know, Diekman's dirty slider got Jared Walsh. And it was just kind of end of story there. David Fletcher popped out. You know, just they couldn't find the holes in the last two innings like they did in that seventh inning. And I don't know. I'm not upset about this loss, really. I mean, it's a tough team. 8-5 loss. The Angels had 14 hits, so they were hitting. And kind of an interesting quote that I saw. I don't know who it was, or I give him credit for it. If you're listening to this, tag me. At me, and then I'll go retweet it. But an interesting quote from an Angels fan. It was, the Angels hitting is going to keep them in games. It's the pitching that's going to win games. And it's something, it kind of like hit me. I was like, yeah, you know, like this was it right here. You know, this is a good point. The Angels had 14 hits on five runs. But the pitching just couldn't do it. You know, Dylan Bundy had two bad innings, one really bad inning in the fifth and or in the third, and he, I don't think he could really get out of that inning. And you know, it was just a tough game for Bundy. And I don't know. Let's talk about Dylan Bundy first. What can he do to get better? I mean, he's been struggling. His ERA is up to 7. Do we see maybe a fake IL stint? Do we see, you know, a bullpen move? It's just he's not the same guy.
It's funny that you said fake IL stint after yesterday, not wanting to use that term, but
I don't want to, but it's something that happens.
I think the biggest thing for him is he's got to get the ball down in the zone, and he's got to locate a little bit better. The home run ball has been a big, big, big issue for him this year. I don't think it was as big of an issue for him tonight, but yeah, he's had games where he's given up 3 home runs in an outing, which is very hard to do. I think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to see him get an extra rest period, whether that's an IL stint, whether it's a push his start back a couple days. He needs something because he's got to get down in the zone a little bit more. I think that's been the biggest thing that I've seen this year is the pitches that are getting hit out of the park are elevated. I remember the one that really is in my brain right now is the Giants when he gave up 3 home runs in that game. It was a hanging slider, which can't happen. And then the one that just really sticks out to me is the fastball he threw at the top of the strike zone. And it was like an 0-2 pitch or a 1-2 pitch, and he was trying to get it elevated, and he just couldn't get it up enough. And you know, I think if you're going to throw that pitch, it's got to be – it can't be hittable. And I think that's kind of been the issue with him so far is, like, when he's getting ahead in counts, he is still throwing hittable pitches. And we can't have that as a starting pitcher. We got to – not say that we have to nibble, but we definitely have to execute. If we're throwing a pitch up, it's got to be – it's got to be out of the zone for sure. It can't be kind of out of the zone.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I am. And the one thing that kind of sticks out to me there is his command is not there, right, Nate?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what does, you know, maybe command have to do with our previous conversation that we talked about?
No, I don't want to credit that because it's been that way the whole year. He's had issues being down in the zone from his first or second start all the way to till now. So
he's had issues his entire career with the home run ball. He really has. So yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a sticky stuff. I don't, but it's kind of a weird coincidence that, you know, we're kind of seeing something like this. He hasn't been good this year, but you know, it hasn't been this bad. And you know, we saw the spin rate down tonight. We saw everything kind of down a little bit, and it just, you know, the curveball wasn't a curveball. I mean, it was a curveball, but it wasn't, couldn't locate. And that's a big thing with not having good feel of your pitches. And, you know, the same goes with Junior Guerra, who had a nice outing, but you know, altogether, I think we need to bring this up. And like I said, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be a Talking Halos podcast if we don't talk about somebody using sticky stuff or something something we see during a game. And there were 5 hit batters tonight, and the worst one being, who was it, Mark Canha?
Chad Pender.
I mean, Mark Canha's gotten hit like 18 times against the Angels lately, but yeah, Chad Pender got hit in the back of the head. Granted, it was, thank goodness it was a split finger, it wasn't a fastball, 94 to 96 from Guerra, but yeah, you know, scary scene there, and I hope we don't see that anymore. I really, like, Angels had half the hit by pitches tonight. They were in baseball. There were 10 altogether. There were 5 in the Angels game. I mean, and I would expect the hit by pitch total to go up. We'd expect the walk total to go up, and that's going to be something we're going to monitor as the next couple days and weeks go on. But yeah, again, another scary incident. It was thank goodness it was a split finger, you know. But man, you brought this up multiple times. Man, can you imagine if Jordan Hicks loses it, or I mean, if Raisel Iglesias kicks it up to 97, or I mean anybody, Chris Rodriguez kicks it up to 97, 98, Shohei Ohtani kicks it up to 100. Like it's just, it's getting out of hand. Like, it's going to get out of hand. It's not gotten out of hand yet, but with what we saw tonight, I think it's really going to get out of hand, hit by pitches and everything that goes on. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, like we said, it's going to be talked about all year, and it's going to be something that hitters might end up saying, you know what, give these, either make the balls easier for these guys to throw or allow them to use something so I'm not potentially dying every AB.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, the hitters, Josh Donaldson kind of has brought this upon himself by, you know, saying something about it. I think he said it about, was it Gerrit Cole that he said it about?
Yes, and Gerrit Cole went on to strike him out in his next AB against him, which I absolutely loved.
That's, yeah, no, 100%. Like, I would love that too. I love that too. But, I mean, if hitters are going to start talking about pitchers using stuff, not expect to get hit on purpose, but expect to start getting hit more, because I can guarantee you, yes, 90% of the players around the league are using some type of foreign substance, but 99% of the players probably don't know where balls are going, correct?
I don't know if it's that high, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it is, and I just don't know. It's going to be tough to – it'll be interesting to see. Like we've said this entire time, we'll have to just wait and see what happens in the coming days and weeks. So let's preview tomorrow's game. It's, again, Angels against the A's at the Coliseum. It'll be at 9:40 Eastern time. Why'd I say that? I don't know. It just says it right here as I'm looking at this page. And Andrew Heaney against Frankie Montas. Fun fact, Andrew Heaney has 69 strikeouts on the year. Just wanted to say that because that's a big stat that just popped up to me there. So, Nate, who do we got winning this game?
This is going to be a really fun one because Montas throws really hard and already doesn't have great control. So we could see four guys hit in this game again. You know me, I'm not a huge Heaney guy. And it seems like the thing has, the way the Angels have gone lately, they have beaten up on the guys who are not very good. I think Frankie Montas has really, really good stuff. I think the A's win the game 6-4.
Why are you doing this to me? Why you got to do this to me? I mean, Andrew Heaney's been red hot. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, partly because when I bet against Heaney, it's usually pretty good for the Angels.
Okay, good. That's good. That's good to know. Well, now fans, you know where to go if the Angels lose tomorrow. Don't blame me. Blame Nate. Because I think the Angels are going to win this game. I think the Angels have not necessarily handled Frankie Montas well, but I think they're going to hit him fairly well. I think they're going to get to the bullpen early. And kind of an interesting thing here, you said that Montas doesn't have very good control. Well, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and guess what pitch he's holding?
Split finger.
That's what he's holding. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be something to monitor. I'm interested to see what Montas does, what the command looks like with him, because that split finger will be interesting. And Andrew Heaney's a big fastball guy, too. So I don't know if the fastball plays up. I don't know if his spin rate goes up. I mean, it's just something that we're going to have to monitor tomorrow. It really will be, and it's a damn shame that we're going to have to do that. But I'll say the Angels win 4-3 somehow. The bullpen's been good. Heaney's going to keep them in check. I feel like Heaney's pitched pretty well in Oakland. I could be wrong. And he's pitched, yeah, I mean, nobody has above a Matt Olson has hit him the best, and he's batting .333. So what is that? 4-12 against him. So with no home runs, he's given up 3 home runs against Elvis Andrews, a home run against Mark Canna, and a home run against Matt Chapman. So he's fared fairly well against the Athletics in his career. So let's get on to some minor league news. Not really news, but you know, just kind of take a little trip around the Angels farm system. There was only one game tonight. The Salt Lake Bees, they won 5-4. The only guy that I think a lot of people that are listening to this really care about, Joe Adell, went 1-4 with a run and 2 RBIs. He had a triple. He also had 2 strikeouts. Guys, I think he's still coming up soon. Nate, do you agree? I think he's got to be coming up soon.
Yeah, you forgot the biggest thing for me and for a lot of people on here. What did he also do today?
He had 2 RBIs.
He made an error.
Okay, hold on now. I don't believe in minor league errors. We don't know what an error is anymore.
I
You want me to go back? I'll go back and find the error. Tell me what inning the error was in. Did you see a video of his error by chance?
No, but the fact that he has an error in the outfield is very, very tough.
All right.
How do you have an error in the outfield?
He rolled into a double play. I thought he turned a double play. That's fair. I'll go and find the error, and I'll let you know if it was a real error, because I don't trust minor league errors. I really don't. Like, no offense to the minor league system, but, like, Kevin Maeton, who's not a good defender, had 25 errors at shortstop in 25 games. Like, how many of those are actually, like, I'm sure most of those are errors, but, like, and how many times do we look at a play in the major leagues and say, wow, that wasn't an error, and the Major League Baseball has to go and change it, you know? Or, like, how often does a hit get changed to an error, or an error get hit to a chain, like, an error get changed to a hit? Wow. I mean, I just don't believe in the minor league error very much. It's just tough to tell. I don't know. I'll go and look for you and let you know if it was a real error or not.
It was in the second inning. It did cost them a run. Not that it mattered, but it was the first score of the game. They scored two runs. One run, it looked like it was going to score, and then the other one scored on the air. So it sounds to me, just by reading this, that it was a ground ball under his glove, which, again, it's the outfield. It's not rocket science to play out there. I mean,
well,
it's going to be something that I'm going to monitor, and it's going to be something that I'm going to continue to talk about, because if Joe Adell cannot play the outfield, we're in for Justin Upton 2.0.
Well, I don't think how important is outfield defense, Nate, really? I'm interested to know.
If you're going to have a staff that's not going to strike a lot of guys out, which I know we're striking a lot of guys out, but what has been the biggest concern with the Angels is they came into the year supposedly having the best defense on paper, and they've been one of the worst defenses. So I would say it plays a lot into, especially routine plays. That's where I think the issue is. When you can make routine plays in the outfield, that's where you're going to see a lot of people get frustrated. Yeah, if the guy's making diving plays in the gaps that are run saving, like, those are great. But when you're missing ground balls to you, again, I don't know if that was what happened, but if you're missing ground balls to you in the outfield, if you're missing fly balls that you're camped under, it is a problem.
And I think I feel like we've talked about this before, like, how the Angels brought in a lot of ground ball pitchers, I think, this offseason, correct? At least they brought in Quintana. But how much of that is on the infield being not very good defensively? Like, Anthony Rendon, who's a very good defender, is not a very good defender this year when you look at the stats. Jose Iglesias, who's been one of the better defensive shortstops, probably top two defensive shortstop in baseball over the past 7-6 years, probably since he's, if you go back to when he played with Detroit, he's probably been one of the best defensive shortstops, not named Andrelton Simmons. Like, how is he not one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball again this year? Like, all of a sudden it just falls off. David Fletcher, who's made his career on defense, has all of a sudden not become a very good defender. Like, it's bizarre. It's the weirdest thing. Why is this happening? Also, I just went and looked at his error. He had to charge in the ball. It's an error on Joe Adell. It was not really an error. It was a mental error on the infielder. The infielder should have caught it. Joe Adell had to come in. I'm sure he called him off. So I don't know if I... Yes, it was probably an error. It was definitely an error. But I think the infielder probably should have had it, and I think Joe Adell probably shouldn't have called him off, but it was kind of in that weird triangle. You know, I think the second baseman was going out, the shortstop was going out, and Joe Adell was playing center field. He was charging in, and it was just kind of a tough play for all of them. So do I think it was an error? Yeah, probably. Do I think it probably could have been avoided? Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I don't know. Is that immaturity on Joe Adell's part? I don't know if we can really say that, can we?
Again, it's just a feel for the position. It's something that either you know how to play the position or you don't. And if you're saying that it should have been caught by another guy, it becomes an issue, because why are you calling the guy off and not making the play? Like, if you're calling someone off, it's because you can make the play. So I'm not here to say to give him more slack and like, oh, you know, he'll figure it out in the major leagues. Like, that's not how it works. Like, typically, if you can't play the outfield in the minor leagues, it doesn't just automatically get better in the big leagues.
No, it definitely doesn't, because the ball's hit harder, it's hit differently. It, you know, there's more stands behind home plate. You know, it's more difficult to see. I think that's a big problem at Angel Stadium that not a lot of people talk about, is that it's very difficult to see the ball off the bat at Angel Stadium. And I just, you know, I agree. Like, it's tough. And I don't know. You know, I think that you can't ignore what he's doing with the bat. I don't know. I just think it's going to be kind of interesting. I say that a lot, but
he will be up by the end of the month, that's my guess. But will he be ready is the other question. And yes, the power's there, but the strikeout's also there. And defensively, we'll see.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Can he play defense? Like, we expect him to hit. I don't think that's going to be a problem. He will hit eventually. But can he play defense? Because if you can't count on that guy to play, you know, 130 games in the outfield, there's not another spot for him. You can say DH all you want, but Shohei Ohtani's got that thing on lock, so.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I had a question, but I think I'm going to save it. I'll save it till tomorrow when we talk. So, Nate, any final thoughts before we let everybody go? Kind of a longer podcast here, but I think we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm just, again, waiting to see how the Angels do against some better pitching. This week is kind of a tale of two opposites, where you're going to see really good pitching from Oakland, and then you're going to see Detroit come in, and Detroit's and with the pitching. So how do we handle Oakland for the next two nights, and then how do we handle Detroit this weekend? It's going to be funny. If we attack and dominate the Tigers and get attacked and dominated by the A's. So I would love to see the Angels take 2 out of 3 from Oakland and prove me wrong that we don't just hit bad pitching, but we'll see.
Yeah, it all comes down to what the Angels do today in Oakland. I'm with you on that. I'm excited to see what happens with all the sticky stuff. I know it's probably not a very good thing for me to say, but it'll be very, very interesting to see. That's where I stand. I think we're going to talk about it a lot. I think that something's going to happen every night in the major leagues in the next month that we're going to be like, wow, this is really interesting. I wonder if this guy's using sticky stuff. I wonder if that, like, I'm absolutely fascinated by this. This is what, you know, I have, in a sense, built my life around. This is what I do, is why does the ball spin that way and how do we make the ball spin differently? And this is what, you know, this is what's going on. So I'm excited. If you guys don't already, follow myself and Nate on Twitter. I'm at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. Go complain to Nate. He loves listening to everybody complain. I complain to him on a daily basis. Guys, if you don't follow us on all of our social medias, you can look up Talkin' Halos anywhere you go. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. Drop us a review. Tell us hi. Do whatever you got to do. We really do enjoy it. And I try to mention everybody. Also, forgot to mention it yesterday. If you're still listening to this, her name was Anna. I can't pronounce her last name. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her last name. Left us a review. Appreciate it. I try to acknowledge everybody. And guys, thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.